It's awesome to be here. I love this time of year. Like, I love it. I love this sort of middle of January. I've usually had a bit of a break. We've kind of been inspired, and we're ready to go. Now, I know some of us have been ready to go for the year for a couple of weeks. Others are just sort of waking up to the idea that there's a new year beginning, all right? Some of you are like, when the kids go back to school, then I can really start to think about the year ahead or whatever it might be. So wherever you are in the space of your life, a big welcome today. And this month, we're actually doing a series called Divine Direction. And last week, with our three preaching team, Dan Frecker, David Crowder, Teresa, preached a message about how to get a word from God for the year, to set your year up. So highly recommend you listen to that on podcast. I listened to Teresa yesterday on YouTube. Great message. So check that out. And then the next two Sundays, I'm going to do a two-part series. Melbourne will be coming to you this Sunday and next Sunday. Today is about vision. Next Sunday is about strategy. And then we'll come to then the third week in 3 weeks' time, and both locations will be our goal anointing Sunday. So we're going to talk vision, which is big picture for your life. We're going to talk about the strategy. Well, how do you get there? And then we're going to break it down to what steps are we going to take this year towards the vision that God's got for your life. Are you ready to go? We're going to zoom out today, baby. This is one of my favorite topics. We're going to zoom out today, Pastor Dan Frecker. I know you love this. We're going to talk big picture for our lives. We're going to think from the mountaintop today, okay? We're going to think not just what am I having for breakfast tomorrow, how do I get through this year. We're going to think about God's plans for our life. Wherever you are, whatever stage of your life you're at, whether you're a young person, a teenager, fresh off the back of youth camp here on the sunny coast, I hear it was awesome. So fresh off the back of youth camp, whether you're, you know, in the early middle part of your life, like myself in the early 50s, or whether you're, you know, got your 70, and you've got bonus years, you need a vision. You need a vision for your life. You need a vision that comes from God. And so we're going to look at our key scripture for this month, and we're going to dial into that particularly in two versions. And it's in Proverbs. So if we can pull that up on the screen, that'll be awesome. This is a great scripture about vision. And it starts out, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, and it says, we'll start in the old King James. Come on. Who grew up with the old King James? Come on, Warren, I reckon you in Melbourne, you grew up with the old King James. Where there is no vision, the people perish. He that keeps the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, okay, the people perish. So if you've got no sense of vision for your life, you're going to shrivel up on the inside. Your soul will be small if you don't have vision. If you've got no vision for your life, you'll live life in black and white, wondering why people around you are living with a sense of excitement and a sense of vibrancy, because they've got this 3D experience going on, and you're living in 2D because you've got no vision. You're living in black and white and they're in color. You'll live unfulfilled if you've got no vision. This is what the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people, they perish. Now, we don't want anybody here to perish. I don't want you to perish in your life. I want you, and I know God wants you, to have a big life, to live a life that's over the top, that's abundant. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. God's got a big vision for your life. You probably heard it said that there are three great moments in everybody's life. The day you're born, the day you're born again, you become a follower of Jesus Christ, and the day you discover why you were born. And if you've just been born, well, step number two is to be born again. And today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus in Melbourne, online, or in this room, I want to help you connect with the God who created you and has got a vision that he wants to infuse into your soul. But the beginning of it comes with a relationship with him. And then ultimately, we've got to realize that God has a vision for us. Helen Keller, who was famous when I grew up, was a lady born blind and deaf. And she was an absolute obstacle to her. She became an inspiration, an author, an activist, and a lecturer, a symbol of perseverance and hope from a young age. When she was a young girl, no one could communicate with her because she was deaf and blind. And it was when she was a young girl, they ran water through her hands and they draw letters on her hands, and they realized that she could be communicated to that way. And it began this journey of her discovering how to communicate and how to live a full life. And this is what she said later on in her life. She said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." Having sight but no vision. God has a great vision for your life. Let's look at another version of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." Where there's no prophetic vision. This brings us into the idea is vision is not just something you sit down one day and write because you've done a few surveys about what you want to do with your life. Vision is prophetic. Vision is something that flows from God to you. Vision is something, and I'm talking the big picture of vision for your life. God created you with a purpose. He created you. Here's what he said to Jeremiah when he called him. "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb." The Bible tells us later on in Scripture that before the earth was created, God foreknew us. Before he breathed this planet into existence by his very words, God's thoughts were towards you and he wrote a plan for you. The Bible said he wrote a plan for your life and for my life. So to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations." My prophet to the nations. This is actually one of Danielle's core scriptures. And it's awesome for me to watch the vision that, let me share a bit of love about Pastor Danielle, who I don't call her Pastor Danielle at home, just to be really clear. Unless I'm in trouble, and then I say, "Yes, Pastor Danielle, whatever you need." But she is a person who God gave her that scripture as a young person. She surrendered her life to God. She never really wanted to preach, but God gave her this promise, "I've called you to be a prophet to the nations," and I've watched her go on this journey. She's always been fun. She's always had a sense of adventure. She's always had this wisdom and grace, and then this prophetic anointing has come on her life, and she's been a person who speaks with authority because before she was formed in her mother's womb, God set her apart. And let me just say, honey, it's just a delight for me to be married to you. You're my best friend, my soulmate, and I love doing life with you. Happy birthday. There we go. Happy birthday. Before I knew you. Jeremiah, it's a bonus having the microphone sometimes. Just let me say it. I'm a blessed man. Jeremiah chapter 29. Later on, he goes on and says, the Lord says through Jeremiah, "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. God's got plans for you. He's pre-written the book. Here's the key. We've got to tap into the pre-written books, but God's got plans. "I know the plans that I have for you. Melbourne, I know the plans that I have for you," says the Lord. "They're plans for good." Come on. A friend of mine, when I was a young person, thought God was bad. He was afraid God would make him marry a girl he didn't like. I'm like, dude, that is the wrong mindset about God. Come on. "I know the plans that I have, and they're good. Plans to give you a good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." This is God's plans for you. And last one, Ephesians 2 verse 10. I love the way it was written in the Passion Translation. "We have become his poetry." Come on. Anyone ever said to you, "You're a beautiful poem"? "We have become," it's his workmanship, my preference is that one, "a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us." Because we're joined to Jesus. That's what happens when you become a Christian. You get one with Jesus, the anointed one. "And even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works that we would do to fulfill it." Before you were born, God created the plans for your life and good works, things that you would do that are part of his purpose and his overall picture of planet Earth. God's got a key part for you and I to play. where there's no prophetic vision. So there's vision from God that he wants to download to you and I. The journey that we've got to go on is to get on the page. Well, what's God's vision for my life? What's he got? Big picture, what's God's vision? You'll never be any more fulfilled than when you're living God's vision for your life. You'll never, and let me just tell you a couple of things about it. God's vision for your life is bigger than you can imagine. It's beyond your own ability. It's beyond your capacity. It's a vision that will make you feel nervous. It's a vision that will make you sometimes, when you tap into the bigness of God's vision for your life, it'll make you feel uncomfortable. It'll make you want to step back because it's so big. It reminds me of a friend of mine. The neighbors stole the socks off their clothesline and he was going to go and confront them and take them back, but he got cold feet. Come on. You didn't see that coming, did you? That was good. He got cold feet. That's awesome. He just backed off because it was too... Anyway, sorry. God's vision for your life. Come on. Come on, Toby, you like that. You've got that going on. All right, God's vision for your life. It's big. It's beyond your own ability. It needs a supernatural faith and a supernatural God. It needs a family of those around you. Pastor Phil Pringle says about 90% of your destiny comes out of the relationships and the people that you're connected with. God's vision for your life. Now, here's the interesting thing, last thing about this verse, where there's no prophetic vision. People, this is what it says, cast off restraint. Another way of saying that is if you've got no vision, you're not going to be disciplined. Because you've got nothing to live for. So if I know some people here who are great athletes who have played at the highest level or swam or run or played footy or whatever it might be, and great athletes, you know, you're like, let's go out and party. It's, you know, 10 o'clock at night, and they're like, no, I'm going to bed because in the morning I've got to get up and I've got to go to that pool and swim for 3 hours. Now, why do they say that? Well, this is why they say that is because they've got a vision of them standing on a national championship with a gold medal around their neck. And because they've got vision, then they live a life of restraint, a life of discipline. And so when you've got a vision for your life, then self-discipline is the overflow. If you've ever sat with a personal trainer and said, you know, like all of us this time of year going, I need to get fitter, what they'll usually say is, what's your why? Why do you want to be fitter? Because if you've got a clear why, if you've got a clear vision, then you'll be able to cast off restraint and live discipline. You want to buy that house. Well, then, I'm going to actually cut back on my spending. I'm going to live with restraint because I'm living with a vision for my life. Is that helping anybody today? Where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint. But blessed are those who keep the law, which is actually the word of God that comes to us. So I want to talk to us today then about how do we discover this vision-infused life? How do we get onto God's page? And it's not a moment. It's not just, it won't happen just in one day. It'll be a series of moments. And as you seek God, you'll find that God will unpack it for you. But I want to take you on a bit of a journey of what I began to do about 15, 17 years ago when I started hearing people talking about their dream boards. And I'd already had a range of different things that were vision things in our heart. Danielle and I talked about having certain things that were part of the vision for our life. We established early on for our marriage that we wanted to have a vision for our marriage as it would be our outstanding marriage. That's the vision. We've got a vision for our marriage. Now, is it outstanding every day? Well, sometimes I've done something wrong and I'm outstanding in the backyard wondering what to do next. So it's that kind of outstanding, all right? Somebody knows what I'm talking about, all right? But as a general rule, we pre-decided a vision, all right? Come on. We pre-decided a vision. And when you've got vision, then that helps you form strategy, which we'll talk about next week, because just having a vision doesn't make it come to pass. You've got to have a strategy. You've got to have faith and works to fulfill the vision of God. We'll talk about that next week. But a vision is something that will motivate you, and it's got to come from God. So I began to take the things that I'd written, and I began just simply, I literally got this blackboard, a piece of Perspex, black Perspex board, and I just began to rough write things so that, because vision's progressive. God never gives you the full download of your life. And particularly while I was journeying towards a vision board and a vision plan, I thought, well, I started on paper, but now I'll go to Perspex. And the first thing I wrote in the middle of it was, the vision for my life is to have an intimate friendship with God. So I just wrote, that's going to be the center of everything. So I don't expect you to read it. I'm not going to do the whole thing here, but I wrote that in the middle of my life, I have a revelation that God's called me to be his son, and that's life-changing. Then I discovered that he wants me to be his servant, to serve him, because if my life's about something bigger than myself, about the kingdom of God, it'll be fulfilling. So I want to become a servant. Then the third revelation I had about my relationship with God is he wants me to be a soldier. I've got to fight. There's a warfare. This is not an effective follower of Jesus who's making a difference requires some fight on the inside. He's called us to put on the armor of God. But then I discovered that Jesus said to his disciples after 3 years of hanging out with them, he said, you know what? I no longer call you my servants. I call you my friends. And I realized that after a foundation of being a son or a daughter or being a servant of God or being a soldier for God is a level where God's called us to be, but we've got to chase it, and that's friendship. I want to be friends with God. The purpose of my life is to be friends with God. Intimate friendship, to experience his presence, to hear his voice, to see his face, to spend time with him over and over, because he is fulfilling in and of himself. And when he fulfills me, then everything else just comes and gets added to that. So that's the first thing for me, an intimate friendship with God. I've got a scripture that goes with that, and I'll show you this in a moment. And then I began to go, what else is the vision for my life? Big picture. In 20 years' time, what do I want? And I literally said this about 15, 17 years ago. I want to look back and go, what else do I want? And so I began to look at the top, across the top. I just did four circles across the top. Just wrote four circles. And I began to think, well, what's the next most important thing after God? And the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. So it tells me relationships are the next important thing. And I began to write a vision, and these were things that I'd been thinking about and writing and praying for, but I began to, okay, I'm going to write it down. So I wrote down, number one is that an outstanding marriage. Number two, I began to write down, said, I want to, when they grow up, my kids, I want to have a great friendship, a great relationship with my on fire for God and healthy children. I want them healthy body, soul, and spirit. I want them to be on fire for God, and I want to have a great relationship with them. So that's the next part of the vision of my life. God, my wife, my children. Then the next part was I want fun and meaningful friends. I feel like God's destiny is in other people, so that's the meaningful. And I like people who make me laugh. So I like people who are competitive and bring me alive. So that's just like, this is a vision for my life, fun and meaningful friends. And then the fourth vision that I felt for me was God's called me to raise significant spiritual sons and daughters. So I just wrote that down. These are the relationships in my life. This is the kind of person I want to be. When you have a vision for your life, then it actually helps you go, well, I'm not going to do that, even though that might be good, because this is my vision. And so then I went down, I wrote some more things, and I'm going to just briefly go through them. I began to write what God's called me to be. In terms of ministry, powerful, soul-winning, supernatural ministry. I wrote a goal for my business that God's called me to run. I wrote a goal for a house that we had this dream of one day we'd have a house that would have water views and it would be beautiful. I wrote a goal down about our church. We wrote a goal down about, you know, a vision of a landmark church facilities that we would have. And the last thing is that we would inspire and influence pastors and leaders. And so when I step back and think about my life and pray about my life, it's clear, and I'm going to help us understand. I just didn't pluck those. I'm going to help us understand where these things have come from. These things, the point of these things is not to make me look good. It's for me to fulfill the prophetic vision that God has for my life. And if you try and live my life, it won't work. And if I try and live your life, it won't work. We've got to work out what's God's grace and call and plan. Come on, Melbourne, we've got to work out his grace and call and plan for our life. And so I wrote it down, and then over the years, I just began working it until eventually now, I have a vision board. I'm going to quickly show you a photo of it, just so that this is on my wall. I've got a photo with each one, so an outstanding marriage, a great relationship. So I just go through those things. I've got scriptures with each of them, a photo. This is cool, Landmark Church Facilities. I've kind of got some vision things. When I look at it, okay, we can take that down. You don't all need to see all my personal details of my vision. I know, right? All right, so, but he, over a period of time, this got clearer and sharper. And the clearer and sharper it's got, the more focused I'm able to be and intentional with my life, because I've only got one life to live. You've only got one life to live. I've only got 24 hours in my day. Last time I checked, you've only got 24 hours in your day. We don't want to be wasting our lives. We want to hit the mark that God's called us to hit. Can I help anyone, helping anyone today? So let's just talk about a few things about vision. First of all, these are just some quick thoughts. God's vision for your life is big. I love what Billy Graham said. God's vision for your life is greater than you can imagine. Stay faithful and he will lead you there. The next thing is God's vision for your life is usually centered on serving others. If your vision has you looking famous as its main point, I'm going to suggest to you it's not God's vision. Now, you might end up being recognized and you might end up with a great reputation and there might even be some fame that comes your way, but that should never be the focus. The focus should be serving God's vision and serving others. And then the third thing, and I said this earlier, God's vision will unfold progressively. Unfold progressively. So, you know, I think sometimes if God had showed me 20 years ago some of the things that he was going to take me through, you said this last week, Teresa, you're like, oh, I'm out. So God, it unfolds. And usually it unfolds because God goes, you're faithful with that, I'll give you something else. You were faithful with that, I'll give you something else. Usually God's vision comes to pass as you serve somebody else's vision. And as you make somebody else's vision come to pass, as you serve, whether it's your boss, whether it's someone in your team, in your connect group, wherever it might be, you serve others and their vision, then God will progressively unpack yours. So how do we find it? Let me give you four ways to tap into God's vision for your life over a period of time. The first one is this, rhema words, quickened words. I was 13 years old. Had been given my first one-year Bible, green one-year living Bible. My family were living in Toowoomba and we came to the Sunshine Coast for holidays and we stayed in Yandina. And as any good Queenslander, I'd never experienced this. Toowoomba was too cold. I experienced cane toads for the first time in Yandina. To my delight, one jumped into my brother's sleeping bag. Oh, so good. I didn't put it there. It just jumped in to his sleeping bag, all right? Just let's be clear about that. Anyway, I'm at Yandina. I digress. I'm at Yandina. And we're on holidays and I learned that God wants to speak to me every day. So I read his Bible every day. And so I'm 13, starting to read my Bible. I think it was on February the 4th and we're in Exodus. If you're in February, Exodus 18, this verse just comes alive to me. And it's where God says to Moses, I will make you my people's lawyer, their representative before God. You will stand before God on behalf of people and you'll stand before people on behalf of God. You'll teach them the way that they should live, the word of God and the work that they must do. And I read it and something burned inside of me as I read it. I remember going to my mom and saying, I think God's just given me a scripture about his purpose for my life, that is to be a leader and to lead people. A rhema word from God. Now, I wasn't like, God, today I need a verse that will set my whole life's course. I was just reading saying, God, speak to me. But when you read and say, God, speak to me, every now and then you're going to hit a jackpot scripture. It's probably not a Greek word for jackpot scripture, but you're going to hit something. A lot of the time God will encourage you. A lot of the time God will correct, align, redefine, recalibrate our thinking to align up with the kingdom of God. But periodically there'll be this one that jumps out and God says, this is your purpose. This is who I've called you to, Melbourne. This is who I've made you to be. It's your it's part of your defined definition of your life. And so that's when I look at what I'm called to do with our church, That's my core scripture. So it'll come out of a rhema word. How else will it come? It'll come out of a prophetic word. I love that we're a prophetic church. We value the prophetic. I think if you value the prophetic and you serve others and you seek God, you'll set yourself up to hear prophetic words exactly when you need to hear them. If you sit back, don't serve, don't seek, don't go chase after God and don't serve others, waiting for a prophetic word, let me suggest you probably won't hear one. So God speaks to people who are moving, seeking and serving. And so I remember again 2001, we're 1 year into leading the church, and we went to New Zealand to this conference, and a renowned prophet pulls me out. Well, he's actually pulling everybody out the front one by one. I stand in front of him and he says, young man, God's given you a very powerful healing gift. And I'm like, what? And he goes, a very powerful healing gift. And he's going to use that. He goes on and talks about it. And I've got to tell you, no one had ever suggested it. I had zero desire to pray for people for healing. I'd never seen it or experienced it much apart from a conference once. It wasn't something in my heart, but prophetically, God just shot something and hit me and opened up my heart to this component of the vision that God has for my life. And so now when I talk about God's called me to have a powerful, soul-winning, supernatural ministry, that comes out, that started with a prophetic word. Now I've had numbers ever since and key scriptures ever since, but the vision came from a prophetic word from God. And it wasn't my idea, and it wasn't on my, 15-year-old John's dream board. I didn't have one, but it wasn't there anyway. It came from God, a prophetic word. They come from rhema words. They come from prophetic words. Your vision, the vision God has for you, they'll come from what I call prophetic whispers. Prophetic whispers are the moments when you're close to God. You know, if I want to hear a whisper from someone, I've got to get up real close. So don't expect to hear a prophetic whisper when you're not seeking God, when you're not close to God, when you're not in His presence. Don't confuse a thought you had when you saw something on TV and you really weren't in a God-seeking zone. Oh, I think God spoke to me. Don't confuse that with a whisper from God that burns in your heart. A whisper from God when you're close and you're seeking Him. And this is why we have conferences and services and altar time and prayer meetings and time to press in to God and His presence. And when you're close, then you can hear a whisper. When I was early on running a small business, and I remember there was a bit of a move of God happening on the Sunshine Coast, and it was a Saturday night, and I just felt this stirring to seek God. I began to look, is there a meeting anywhere on the sunny coast that I can go to? And we couldn't find one. So we went to some friends, and I just said to Danielle, I'm going to go down the beach because I've got this stirring on the inside that God wants to speak to me. I walk down the beach and down at Maroochydore, and I'm walking up and down on the beach and just seeking God, and what do you want to say? And this prophetic whisper came to me. And I only, at that point, would have been 3 years into running my business. It was quite challenging. It wasn't going that well. And God whispered, He said, I am going to make your business successful. And the more you seek me, the more successful it'll be. It came from a prophetic whisper from God. Now, I also had rhema words and others had prophesied over me, but that whisper was something I wrote on the wall in my business for years, and I paced and declared, Lord, you said, I will make your business successful. And then He gave me a scripture. I've stored up success for the upright. Rhema words, prophetic words, prophetic whispers, and the fourth thing is your heart's passion. Your heart's passion. There'll be things when you're really close to God and you're sensing His presence and you know you're on fire, that then you'll have a passion for it. Things that Psalm 37 verse 4 says this, delight yourself also in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. The person who's delighting in God will find that God's vision starts to burn and bubble up on the inside of your heart. And then later, as you continue to delight, then God will give you those things will be fulfilled, but they'll begin to bubble up. God never spoke to me and said, John, I want you to have an outstanding marriage. He never gave me a word or a prophecy or a prophetic whisper that I want you to have a great relationship with your on fire, healthy children. That was out of seeking first the kingdom of God, that's a desire of my heart. That's a passion for my heart. I want to live that kind of life. T.D. Jakes says this, if you can't figure out your purpose, figure out your passion, for your passion will lead you right into your purpose. So when you're close to God, when you're on fire from God, and that requires a little bit of self-reflection. Because sometimes this time of year, you're being in holiday mode, maybe not prayed a lot, watched a whole lot of Netflix and movies. It's probably not the time to go, what's the desire of my heart? If that's where you are. Because the desire of your heart's like, I wonder if I can get away without working and just bludge away through the rest of my life. Just, you know, ice creams and parties and... But that's probably not the indication of God's vision for your life. Eating ice cream, David, probably not. But when I'm close, when I'm on fire, when I'm filled. So the first step in terms of getting the passion for God is just get seeking Him. Just put some time aside to worship. If maybe January's, for Sunny Coast people, is a good time to do two services on a Sunday, just to reset, maybe. That would be a good option for us to reset. And then you'll find that these things in your life will be there. Now, I can't tell you, you know, here's the exercise to begin. Is to begin to pray and seek God and put as your number one, your language, what kind of relationship with God do you want? And that maybe it's a five, that vision could be for the next 5 years. I want to know God as my Heavenly Father. I want to know the Holy Spirit and His voice clearly. Whatever it is, let that be the center. Then as God's the center of your life, and He fills you, then begin to add. You know, sometimes I tell people who get saved and they've come out of toxic relationships and there's some damage and some issue, you know, it's kind of like they've jumped from one relationship to the next. Sometimes you just got to go into a just Jesus zone where Jesus becomes enough and He heals your broken heart and He becomes your focus. And then out of that, that's just you, your vision board is to become close to Jesus and to be healed. That could be it. Then after a while, He goes, okay, now you can put on your vision to marry a partner who's on fire for God, who will be complementary in the calling He has for my life. But if you put that on too early, you get distracted away from God. I've seen people get saved and too quickly jump from, oh, I want to be a millionaire because I know God wants to provide for me, and start chasing, and the number one is not a relationship with God. If God's not enough on His own, then nothing else will fulfill you. So what's your number one? And then begin to build around there with relationships, with giftings, with callings, with passions. What's He called you to do? Come on, Melbourne, what's God called? What's His vision for you? It might take you 5 years to get a clear vision board. And then you might be renewing it and updating it all the time. Come on, I want us to pray right now. Father, I thank You. Your word tells us where there is no prophetic vision, people perish. They live undisciplined lives. But happy is he who keeps Your law or Your word. So Father, I pray over this church, C3 Powerhouse, for every member and every visitor here today, everyone who's listening to this podcast or watching YouTube, everyone who's online today, Lord, I pray that the God-breathed vision, the prophetic vision that You have for us, will begin to be downloaded to our heart by Your Holy Spirit, that You will speak to us, stir us, enlarge our thinking, shift our focus to You. Let us live big lives, healthy lives, God-honoring lives, eternal, significant lives. We love you. We honor you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to hand back to Dan Frecker, T3 Powerhouse, Melbourne East. We love you guys. God bless you.